Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm in Copenhagen, Denmark. Having a great time here, having a wonderful time. My second trip to Scandinavia, to just our experience here in Copenhagen is just as rich and as wonderful as it was when we went to Sweden a few years ago. And folks, I encourage you, if you get a chance to travel to this part of the world, you will like it. I promise you, you'll love the people. They're not just friendly, they're genuine. They speak your language better than you do, Americans. And so I encourage you to do that. And a guy who I think agrees with me is my new friend, Mr. Claire Fairfield. Claire is the chairman of the Venture Capital Institute. And this guy is, when it comes to venture capital and maybe even a few other things, he's a man for all seasons. I've come to know a little bit more about him and some of the things he does. He's very well accomplished and a very important guy for us to know, so we can find out what's going on in the head of a venture capitalist. It could be a little scary, so I want to give you a fair warning there. Claire, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim, very much. Appreciate you having me on.
It's good to have you here, and thanks for being on my show, taking the time. Now, this is not your first rodeo with the International Trade Administration, Randy Mitchell's group, and some of the other folks. You've done some of the more of these. I know you went to Sweden.
That's correct. We've been in Sweden. We've been in Norway, a couple other spots as well. But this is at least, I believe, the first time that a program like this has been done in Denmark.
Do you agree with me about my attitude about the Scandinavians?
It is not a place that disappoints.
They're jewels, aren't they?
Wonderful.
They're not just friendly. They're genuine.
Genuine, and they truly do speak our language better than we do.
Okay. I want to take my audience to a dark place. I don't think maybe yours is that dark, but I would worry about going into the mind of a venture capitalist. I'm just having a little fun with Claire, ladies and gentlemen. He's a great sport. Talk to us about venture capital in plain English. You know, venture capital, I feel that venture capital has gone the way of Wall Street. It's gotten so big, and you talked a little bit about it in your presentation today. It's gotten so big and so fast that are there even venture capitalists anymore? Talk to us about that.
Well, that is a great observation, Jim, because our industry has very much wandered away from its roots. The industry started out as a group of operators who became financial guys, and now we have an industry that's filled with a few too many financial guys and not enough operators. And the consequences of that have been that the industry has really moved away from supporting early-stage innovation. There still is early-stage investment that's done, but very, very little compared to what was done really at the institutional birth of our industry back in 1980. We had about 60% of all our activity went into early-stage seed and startup investing. Last year, maybe 3% was done in startup and seed, with about 17% in early stage.
So most of what is being done about what venture capitalists did, say maybe 10 years ago or more, is now being done really by angels. Is that right?
Yes, individuals and some investors. Organized angel groups have taken over or are in the process of taking over what I would call the traditional venture capital.
Now, your organization is not traditional. I mean, you're maybe more traditional. You're not the current venture capitalist, right? Your organization is a little, you're kind of trying to get back to your roots, aren't you?
Yeah, we like to think of ourselves as operating in the spirit of that first generation of venture capitalists. That's correct. Pay more attention to actually building companies, supporting the entrepreneurs, as opposed to just doing everything we can to take every last nickel off the table and make as much money as possible.
Sometimes, let me ask you this question first. I heard one of the other panelists, Kimberly Cerrone, Corona, I guess is how you pronounce her last name. She's an angel expert, and she talked about the fact that they looked at 6,300 packages. They interviewed down to 130, and they wind up funding 12. That's a big attrition there to get to funding. Is that typical for venture capitalists as well?
That is not unusual. That's
a daunting attrition number for anybody who thinks they'd like to get funding from a venture capitalist this year.
Historically, it's about a 1% to 2% funding rate of all business plans that are looked at. Those numbers that she quoted are even a little bit more daunting, but I believe that's also because the group she was talking about takes a little is willing to take a look at anything, and so they're going to have a little bit higher rejection rate.
The big guys won't look at 6,700 deals, will they?
No, if they do, they won't look at them for more than 10 seconds.
Right.
And one of the issues there that is unfortunate about that is that a lot of people don't understand what venture capital is and don't understand the level of returns that the people who give us money to manage for them expect.
What are those numbers?
Well, usually in an early stage deal, you're going to want to go in with an expectation you're going to be able to make 40%, 50% or more compounded annually over the period of your investment, because you're going to have a significant number of failures.
Maybe not in the first year or two, or three or four, but eventually, when it starts becoming a force in the marketplace, it goes public or whatever, they're going all the way back compounded. The ones that work, 40-50%.
Yeah, and the kind of numbers we're talking about when you get back to the old historical way of doing venture capital, 1 to 2 deals out of 10 typically carry an entire venture fund. And so one of the issues is too many people try and force their deal into the venture capital hopper, so to speak.
Right.
And it's the analogy I like to draw is that venture capital is very much like rocket fuel,
right,
and you don't want to put it in a Yugo.
Right.
It's even tough to put it in an F-14.
Hold on to that thought. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got Mr. Claire Fairfield is with us. He's chairman of the Venture Capital Institute. He and I will be right back after these messages. It's 29 after. Stay with me. I'm Jim Blassie.
Business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate.
Girl, I'm bad, 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 bad. Amazing why. Hey, hey.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with me. I'm hanging around in Copenhagen, Denmark, ladies and gentlemen. I've been hanging around for the last day or so with my new friend, Mr. Claire Fairfield. And Claire is chairman of the Venture Capital Institute. And he and I have been panelists today on an event called the Danish American Entrepreneurship Summit, which has been going on here now, sponsored by a bunch of different groups. And he and I have been invited to speak to this group. Claire, tell us a little bit about your organization, the Venture Capital Institute.
The Venture Capital Institute is that's part of what I do to try and kind of give back to the venture community, so to speak. It's an organization that's been around for over 30 years, and to date has trained over 5,000 venture capitalists, and we have attendees from all over the world, primarily a faculty that is made up of individuals who take time off from their occupations to show up and teach everybody exactly what it is they do all day long. And so it's a very applied educational experience and a great networking event.
Well, thank you for doing that. But your job that puts the most money on the table is as a venture capitalist, right?
That's correct.
You've been doing this now for a long time, and I know you're well connected, and I don't know anybody in the world who can answer this question better than you can. When I send a business plan to a venture capitalist, anybody sends a business plan to a venture capitalist, what the heck happens?
So you want to know how the sausage is made.
Exactly. I want to see how the sausage and the laws are made.
All right. Well, the first major distinction that impacts how a business plan is treated is where that business plan comes from. So if the business plan shows up and it's just a cold, thrown over the transom, as we would describe it in the industry, that's an even more difficult sale than normally.
So it helps if there's some kind of an entree.
Having an entree through someone that I know or any venture capitalist would know makes a huge difference.
Just coming in the mail or the overnight or whatever, that's a cold, cold, cold call.
That's as cold a call as you can get in our world.
Yeah.
And
good luck.
Good luck. And so what will happen typically is the plan will be routed to somebody in the office. It might be addressed to me. It might be addressed to someone who's no longer there. And the good and the bad and the ugly of it is it'll get maybe a a 2 to 3 minute review real quick. We'll glance through the executive summary. We'll be looking for who the people are that are involved because we're more interested in the team than anything else.
Right.
See if it's a market we're interested in and if it's an idea that seems to have some ability to be scalable. And if you kind of glance at it and the answer is no, that's pretty much where it stops right there. And
Do you agree that it doesn't need to be a 40-page business plan? It needs to be a fairly condensed one, 10, 15 pages or something like that?
That is correct.
We heard that today.
And even that's plenty because the only thing that will probably get looked at is the executive summary anyway, the first 2 or 3
so
pages.
Make sure you spend time, you do a good executive summary. I talk about that on the show all the time when I do business planning programming.
Because if that hooks me, I'm going to do the work to go back and find out more information. But truth be told, whether people want to hear this or not, if I can't get interested in the executive summary, the next 80 pages aren't going to help
me
out.
Not going to make it happen. Okay, thank you for that. And so let me ask you a question. If somebody needs $500,000, $1 million, you know, I get the feeling today, if you don't want $25 million, $50 million, you forget venture capital. Am I wrong about that?
You are right, Jim. It is extremely difficult and getting harder all the time to really go out and raise venture capital in any amount less than $10 million.
Just need $1 million?
If you just need $1 million, that's where the angels become important.
Yeah.
There are some funds that will do it. Our firm will go down to $1 million, but there's also a limit to how many of those you can do because it does come down to the math of the number of people.
Well, because you can manage a $10 million deal as efficiently as you can manage a $1 million deal. And it all comes down to time, doesn't it?
Time is truly the venture capitalist's most precious asset.
Yeah.
And it takes as much time to do a $5 million investment as it does to do a $50 million or a $500 million investment.
What did you think about my comment to the Danes over here? And I know they're trying to develop their program of, you know, getting venture capital over here. But I was saying, what about customers? You know, how about growing your business through customers? What do you think about that? At 30 seconds.
I would say that you touched on actually one of the weaknesses in the venture capital system traditionally, and that is when you're talking customers, you're talking sales and marketing, and there obviously is a difference between the two.
Right.
But because venture capital is controlled so much by financial minds, and who some of them, most of them have not been operators themselves, they just kind of, you know, to them, salesmen and marketing people are kind of necessary evils.
Right.
They think that stuff's just going to happen on its own. And they don't understand the importance of knowing how you're going to make your first sale and then how you go on to the next one and the next one and putting a system in place that allows that to happen.
Claire, will you come back and do some more with me on this? We've got more to talk about.
That would be great, Jim. I'd love to do that.
Claire Fairfield, ladies and gentlemen, chairman of Venture Capital Institute. He and I are speakers here at the Danish American Entrepreneurship Summit in Copenhagen, Denmark. I'll be right back with Andrew Sherman. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.